If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings. In the love of the One Divine Self, I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Tonight our topic is divination, prophecies, and seership, and our future. I think that will interest most everyone. Since the dawning of human consciousness, mankind has attempted to peer into the future and to use some form of divination to foretell his destiny. In fact, television today is having a heyday with end time dire scenarios. So we're going to look at that whole paradigm tonight. But to begin with, let's do a little meditation. And this time, when you take a deep breath, take your breath from the far reaches of the cosmos. Breathe in infinity. Take a deep breath. And integrate and align all the subatomic particles of your most ascended, awakened, conscious self. And sit like a Rinpoche, like the most precious one, like the jewel in the lotus. And place yourself in a beautiful lotus, like a golden Buddha. And allow the thousand-petaled lotus to unfold all around you with its exquisite fragrance. And see it sitting gently upon a sea of golden consciousness of atoms and subatomic particles of the unified field of the one life that we know as divine perfect love. And if you wish, you can allow the petals in the lotus to represent time cells. The chiliocosm, as they're called in the Keys of Enoch. The time cells in which you have projected a holographic consciousness insert that you may think of as your past life or your future life or your present life. But all of them coexist in the eternal now as dreams within the divine consciousness. So if you wish to look into any time cell, know your past lives, for example, if it's for your highest good to have them revealed to you, if that would serve you, you can sit in this position in your divine Buddhic self and allow your consciousness to be inclined toward the period of history or the consciousness zone. It could be on another planet. It doesn't have to be Earth. And allow it to reveal to you anything that is important for you to know, important for you to bring into your conscious awareness now, or important for you to release and forgive. And we won't take time to do that now, but just as a model of consciousness, you can use this thousand-petaled lotus in which you sit in your divine self as your staging arena to do much galactic, intergalactic, and cosmic work. Now, just regard the sea of atoms around you. In truth, there is only consciousness and energy. And the two together we call God, or the Father and the Son. So what is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is that consciousness of truth that inhabits you. And so we put anthropomorphic faces on what are really eternal continuums that transcend thought and concepts and religion and doctrines and indoctrinations and all conditioned thought. And in each show, we want to reach into the truth of the self and to divest ourselves of the layers that wrap us like mummy wrappings that prevent us from seeing clearly a world that in highest truth we've never left, which is the unified field of eternal life. It's, I believe, important to go with the flow. And right now, the flow, the cosmic flow, is to awaken. And the wind is at our back for enlightenment, to step out of the dream field, the holodeck, the dire end time prophetic scenarios, quote, quote, and to realize that the only future we have is the future we project out of our own expectation of what we would have to be real and what we would see. So regard this golden field of unconditioned consciousness that surrounds you and realize that it interpenetrates you, it lives in you, it breathes you, it moves with you. In fact, beloved, that field of unconditioned light and life, that living word, is actually your cosmic beingness. That's your divine essence. Yes, every single glistening, beautiful quark, that's the smallest subatomic particle that they've been able to find so far, you inhabit and pour through every quark of existence that is waiting for you to place what you would have forward as the form that would emerge out of that unconditioned potential. So we call forward and evoke that which we would have to be real. Now, today, well, gosh, every day I receive so many emails of people sending me channeling and prophecies and this and that and the other thing. I suppose most of us do. But, you know, they have no reality to me whatsoever. I will look at them and I think, gosh, I don't see that. I don't feel that. I don't perceive that. That's certainly nothing that I foresee coming. Huh. I wonder why. And then the date comes and goes and nothing happens. And then I realize, oh, it's coming out of the consciousness of that particular person who has drawn around him or herself an entire auric world discrete unto that person. This involves all of the consciousness inserts and impressions and samskaras, all of the things that have impressed you in the movement of consciousness identification points in the fabric of time and space, being and becoming. So that it impresses the DNA, which is impresses the cellular structure and the cellular memory, and the grooves in the brain, which then source down through the electromagnetic circuitry of the body and the brain that we call the nervous system. And that becomes the world that we inhabit. If you would look clairvoyantly at a person that's in the ego mind state, they live in an oval shell that's colored by their thought forms, peopled by the things that they have embraced as their reality, and the things that they love, the things they hate, the things they fear, the things they dread, the things they expect, the things that they're hooked into as their reality, quote, quote, construct. And it's totally different from another person. That's why you have people that seem to be in the world but not of it, and other people that kind of go with the mass of pop culture or whatever, and they don't seem to have any individuality yet. They haven't matured a sense of self yet. They're still just kind of part of the amorphous mass of consensus belief systems, social conditioning, and things of that nature. They're asleep, bottom line. So you have only two kinds of people on the planet, those who are awake and those who are asleep. And those who are asleep are projecting very fearful scenarios because the sleep state is a state of believed and embraced of existence separate from the all that is, separate from the wholeness and the fullness. So naturally, arising from a consciousness that's identified with the sleep state are going to be fearful projections upon the innocent fabric of time and space. And they will see dire things happening. You know, when I've looked at people, I've noticed that there's a lot of souls in incarnation on the planet today that had holograms in Atlantis and were present during the nightmare of the submergence or the series of submergences of Atlantis. And because we're in a time that's very similar to the Atlantean root race, but we're just on a slight spiral, slightly off of that old timeline in a new spiral, people are tuning in to, if you will, the valences or the ghosts of the past and thinking that they're going to come again in the future. I think that's why people are so obsessed with, 2012 and what's going to happen in the future and things of that nature. So the prophets, the psychics, the seers, the diviners, the dowsers, the mediums, the astrologers, they're abounding and having a heyday today as they have throughout history, really. And now especially as we near 2012, a date which several ancient civilizations have indicated is the end of time as we know it, the end of an age, not the end of the world, but the end of a consciousness manifestation. Actually, it's the end of the age of being totally asleep. every seer and oracle on the planet is bringing forward some kind of information. I find it interesting when you look at world leaders that are influenced by strong religious beliefs and indoctrinations of a fundamental type. And it doesn't matter what the religious valence is, when they're really stuck to the written letter rather than the living spirit, when they're stuck to that dead letter and believe that's the word of God, they seem to be very much trying to push the envelope to make these prophetic scenarios take place. And many of them even enact roles we won't go into names, but certain people have identified with being, people of power back in the Bible times they're doing this similar pattern today, or did. So the truth is we're repeating the past because, as I've said many times, Earth is in a time lag. Linear time does not exist in reality. So we're revisiting events that have already taken place. When we awake and transcend the realm of conditioned thought, we step free of the past. Because the past is attached to our thoughts about it, our history, if you will, which then, based on experience, we tend to project into the future without any reference to the point that, in truth, in the quantum universe, everything that arises as an event dissipates almost as quickly as the attention is abstracted from it. As Max Planck, the father of quantum mechanics, as he observed as a physicist, that when you examine the field of atoms under a microscope, the consciousness focus of the scientist that's doing the observation, depending on their thought and their state of consciousness, the atoms respond immediately and begin to take form. They stop in their random dance and they begin to take form, but they dissipate as quickly as the attention is withdrawn. So there is no linear continuity to events in the quantum universe. There is only the self, which exists as infinite potential and can manifest in a myriad of ways and is not stuck to a linear unfoldment. Sometimes people will take great figures like Jesus and they'll say, well, this is the way it was. He did this, he did this, he did that, he did that. As if he was limited to that one form and manifestation. But Jesus the Christ was no more limited in his infinite expression and multidimensional extensions of his infinite beingness than any one of us. We all have impressed in every single quark of existence the totality of the hologram. Within every microscopic portion, the whole is contained. That is something that we can't meditate upon enough, because it contains the very secret to our stepping free. Everyone wants to be free. And yet, like a bird sitting in a cage with the door open, we don't realize that we have never been bound. We have never been bound. What gives us the impression of being bound is our belief in form identification and time. Both of those states are transcended when you go into a deep state of meditation. You lose awareness of being in a body, and you rise above the mind with its incessant thoughts. And those of you that haven't had that experience, it's because you haven't sat there long enough. For a new meditator, it might take 10, 15 minutes where you just sit there and you patiently watch your thoughts, but you don't follow them. You just observe them passing like clouds before the sun of your divine consciousness. Most people try to control your thoughts. It's impossible. You can't control something that is designed for a function. And thoughts of the lower mind are designed to keep moving you through the environment by interpreting and storing that information in your data banks. We call that your mental body. But above the mental body is your buddhic body, or your Christ consciousness, or Christ oversoul, or higher self. Doesn't matter what you call it. It is what it is, and it does what it does. And in that state, you transcend the thoughts that keep projecting the world that you dream you see. You step out of the prison consciousness into the all that is. You transcend the sense of time. You begin to regenerate and rejuvenate the cells of your body, which are not, which are conditioned by the belief in aging and death. You don't have to buy into that. Every cell in your body is renewed every year. Some things are renewed in days, in months, in weeks. You're not any part of you, even in the material dream, the same as you were a year ago. So what keeps us replicating the same thing again and again? Well, habitual thought patterns, ways we speak, ways we identify self, self-taught talk, the kind of things we say to ourselves in our minds and repeat to other people. That forms then the chrysalis of that individual world that is like a little cement shell that we put around our divinity and keeps us small and confined. So I'm suggesting that we don't have to do that. And we don't have to wait into some imaginary point in time to be in the all that is now. This second you're in it, you're just focused out of it. So you can choose to focus in it and drop the lesser focus and be there. And it's a now place. It has no reference to the past and no projection onto the future. So a truly awakened person has no interest in knowing the future. They know that they are the future. They're living the future in the moment, because the moment and the next moment and the next moment becomes the future. You're living in the future that you dreamt of whenever it was that you projected the future. So it's important, I think, if you want to wake up, to really begin to track yourself and see what you're postulating and imagining and putting energy into reinforcing as your reality. There is no end to the flow of channeled messages pouring through every available avenue of communication today. Yet if you study the actual content of these things, 99.9% of the information can be discerned to have its origin in the subconscious imprinting of the recipient. And here, there's no escaping the fact that input equals output. So the conditioning will always color the message and direct the meaning or the interpretation that's derived from the message. So no matter where we are, there we are. We always see through the lens of our own particular conditioning, unless, of course, we have enlightened the self and are looking through the upper vision of the higher divine consciousness. Then only can we be said to be awake and seeing clearly. But people in that state don't find any need to talk about it. They don't find any need to teach or write books or do seminars. They simply enjoy that state because they realize everybody's awake and part of God, so they don't need teaching. They don't need information. They just see everybody as the same as themselves. So why are so many people afraid of what will happen in the future and so concerned with prophecy? And the truth is, nothing is going to happen. Nothing that you don't put there is going to be there. Nothing is written in some cosmic Rosetta Stone that this is the way it's going to go down and happen. God is not set up to judge, punish, or visit us with wrath. For example, the scriptures, Revelation, refers to states of consciousness and the end of the ego's reign and the return of Christ consciousness or illumined awareness. Of course, it's not interpreted that way, but it was meant to be. Who knows if the channel that it came through even was aware of the meaning. I doubt if the person was Saint John or the Prophet John. Probably not. So whatever you read, begin to think of it not so much in anthropomorphic terms as states of consciousness that are universal, that apply to everyone. Whether you read the Bible or the Quran or the Bhagavad Gita or the Vedas or the Upanishads, they all have a deeper esoteric understanding in terms of consciousness states. The ego-bound state and the liberated state. So begin to look at things in that term, if you choose. So all of these punitive and wrathful prophetic concepts and scenarios arose from minds ignorant of their eternal oneness with God. And, hear me well, these include many extraterrestrial races that came at various times to Earth, to the indigenous peoples of the earlier root races. They came from the sky. They were seen and worshipped as gods, and many of these ETs tried to give directions that were coercive and controlling to keep this indigenous species on Earth under their control. So know this, God lives in you as you. God is not some old man sitting on a throne somewhere up in a sky or even on another planet. The divine spirit lives in your divine consciousness, your divine self, that spirit. We talk about spirit, not spirits, which would be entities conditioned in the various realms and worlds and planetary systems. We're talking about the whole spirit, or the Holy Spirit, or the Om, or the Hu, the Adi Pranava, which is the primordial word from which everything was created. And nothing was created that was not created of that word, that living word. And that is the true word of God. And it's not in a book. It's not written in ink. How could it be? Whatever can be written in a book is subject to human error. I don't care how carefully you try to transcribe it. It's got to go through that conditioned mind field. Both when it goes into your head and when it goes through your eyes as you read it. So the only way to really follow the word of God is to tune to that divine sound, that living word within you that rings and sings as the living radiance within every cell of your being and communicates to you through the higher consciousness everything that you need to know. Then you don't go to an outside container that has its own conditioning. You don't have to go to a channel or a psychic or some form of divination, which there again, the interpretation has to go through that person's aura, that person's conditioning, that person's mind, that person's mood, and then it has to get through all of your layers of consciousness. So you're many, many times removed from the direct truth when you go to another. So that's why we're designed to be a self-contained unit, but not in the separative self that's in its little prison, but the self that embraces of everything, the self that is without form restriction, the limitless light self, the Ein Sof Or, that unconditioned field of awareness ever expanding. So we looked last week, or not too long ago, about how the chakras and the cellular memory and our beliefs and our intentions and expectations and degree of enlightenment all serve as viewing lenses which color and condition and determine what we see and the world that we inhabit. Yeah, our chakras are all doorways into vast conditioned realms of consciousness. But beyond the chakra system, you have limitless divine levels that aren't even conditioned, that don't have anything there. There's just beingness. When we get there, maybe there will be something there, but right now they're just isness, the realms of the is. So the keys actually of true seeing, you might say that truth is like beauty. It resides in the eye of the beholder. But infinite truth, real truth with a capital T, is eternal isness. The only thing to say about it is it's that which is. Tat. T-H. Or T-A-T. Tat. As they called it in the ancient times. So how we look at someone or something or view some scenario determines actually how we will see it. In the quantum unified field, everything just is. No linear time of unfoldment. Time, remember, is created by the physical brain, and there only does it exist. Science says that time exists in the fourth dimension. That's not true. What they're looking at is the astral body, which is part of the mind-emotional sphere we call the kama manasic body, or the mental-emotional body. So they're still in the mind field. They don't realize it. I had a long talk with Preston Nichols of the Montauk Trio about this very thing. And I answered a question he always wondered about. He says, why do we come up against this barrier all the time? We can't seem to go beyond the barrier. I was trained in soul travel. He was trained in science. And yet we were talking the same language. The only thing is that you can only go in the soul body beyond the barrier. You can't go through the ego structure. You can't go through technology. You can't go through spaceships. You can't go through any form into the isness. So you're always caught in the phenomena of the messed universe, which is matter, energy, time, and space, space and time. The messed universe, which is the lower conditioned fields of mind. You know, you can't fake it till you make it in the divine sphere. You have to be divine and totally pure in that consciousness to go into those higher divine realms. That's how they're protected. So what we actually see, know, or experience matches to an absolute minute iota the exact level of consciousness that we are embodying. So you can't see, know, or experience something that you have not become consciously aware of. You're everything already. There's no development necessary. There's only the remembrance of what you have been eternally. And that's the choice of focus. So within the realm, the mental realm of conditioned thoughts is the only place that you're going to find loveless event scenarios. Bear that in mind. Whenever you see something negative happening to yourself or anyone, you're looking at something that is not real. You're looking at a projected, nightmarish, ego-born, separative, lower state that is devoid of eternal life. You're in the loveless event scenarios. And that need not be. So when we look at life as simply energy and consciousness, we see that nothing is preset to occur. There is no time and event scenarios that have to take place. In fact, this very repetition of what we've already passed through is for one purpose alone, that we can awaken within it and choose again. At any second, we can choose things differently. Things do not have to be the way they've been in the past. I would like to stop for a second here and read a few things from the Course in Miracles. This is from the Workbook for Students, Lesson 311, 312, 313, and 314. I'm just going to read little portions. I judge all things as I would have them be. Judgment was made to be a weapon used against the truth. It separates what it is being used against and sets it off as if it were a thing apart. And then it makes of it what you would have it be. It judges what it cannot understand because it cannot see totality and therefore judges falsely. I see all things as I would have them be. Perception follows judgment. Having judged, we therefore see what we would look upon. For sight can merely serve to offer us what we would have. It is impossible to overlook what we would see and fail to see what we have chosen to behold. How surely, therefore, must the real world come to greet the holy sight of anyone who takes the Holy Spirit's purpose as his goal for seeing. He cannot fail to look upon what Christ would have him see and to share Christ's love for what he looks upon. I have no purpose for today except to look upon a liberated world set free from all the judgments I have made. Now let a new perception come to me. There is a vision which beholds all things as sinless, so that fear has gone, and where it was is love invited in. And love will come wherever it is asked. This vision is your gift. The eyes of Christ look on a world forgiven. In his sight are all sins forgiven, for he sees no sin in anything he looks upon. Now let his true perception come to me, that I may awaken from the dream of sin and look within upon my sinlessness, which you, my Father, have kept completely undefiled upon the altar to your Holy Son, the self with which I would identify. Let us today behold each other in the sight of Christ. How beautiful we are, how holy, and how loving. Brother, sister, come and join with me today. We save the world when we have joined, for in our vision it becomes as holy as the light in us. I seek a future different from the past. From a new perception of the world, there comes a future very different from the past. The future now is recognized as but an extension of the present. Past mistakes can cast no shadows on it, so that fear has lost its idols and its images, and being formless, it has no effects. Death will not claim the future now, for life is its goal. And all the need means are happily provided. Who can grieve or suffer when the presence has been freed, extending its security and peace into a quiet future filled with joy? Father, we were mistaken in the past and choose to use the present to be free. Now do we leave the future in your hands, leaving behind our past mistakes, and sure you will keep your present promises and guide the future in their holy light. The Course of Miracles, of course, was given by the Master Jesus just for these times to awaken us to truth and reality, apart from the assumptions we've made of his teachings in the past. So, again, it's a quick course. It's a year course of allowing him to have your thought life and your way of looking and transforming them into true vision. So people who are still caught up in the holodeck programming, they only need to end the program and to exit. How how do you end the program and exit? Well, you redirect your attention somewhere else. You begin to question your beliefs. Do you know for a fact that they are true? Who are you when you believe those particular things? Who would you be if you didn't espouse those particular beliefs? How are these beliefs helping you to be more loving? Because I'll tell you something, if what you're believing is not making you a more loving and kind and fearless individual, you're on the wrong path. You know, that's how you can tell truth. It sets you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So truth never binds you to a fearful belief system that points out wrath and judgment and hell and the illusion and holds it up as if it were real. It's not real. We've never been here. We have never left the heart of God. We've never been in a body. We've never been born. We can never die. We can never cease to exist. So ask for the healing of your memories whenever past cellular traumatic kind of scenarios visit you. Forgive yourself. Release these things and step free through grace. That's what causes you sometimes to revisit old fears, that you don't deal with them. Take authority over them and step free. So getting confused and anxious is a good sign that whatever you're looking at is not setting you free. So let's examine what influences govern psychic information and divination. Did you ever wonder what makes your pendulum seemingly spin around in answer to your questions? Well, you do. Very subtle nerve emanations from your subconscious mind influence your brain and nervous system. And again, give you the answers that you unconsciously and subconsciously, and in terms of your belief system, want to hear. So you can take counsel of your true self, your divine self, which doesn't need a pendulum, or you can listen to your ego that loves pendulums and other forms of divination. So the same thing holds true for all dowsing divination. From Ouija boards to tarot cards, and of course to your own inner household of energy affinities. You can call them demons or angels or ascended masters or God or Satan or whatever. But all of these simply reside as levels of consciousness that you have embraced as belief systems and populated your inner consciousness with. Again, you create your own demons, your own angels, your own hell, your own heaven, your own God, your own, not that there isn't God, you know, with a big capital G, but generally we're not aware of that when we're in the ego state. We're just aware of the false idols that we have replaced the knowledge of the divine self with. And we identify them because they all parade in fearful guise. Every single one of the things that are not true appear as a fear of some sort, false evidence appearing real. So in all of existence, there is only the one divine life, only one. I don't care whether you call it Krishna or Christ or Buddha or Muhammad or Rama or gosh, think of the names, all of the names. There's only one unified field. And all separate appearances are temporary and illusory. So it's not that you merge and become an amorphous mass. You merge and become the all that is. You become undifferentiated divinity. So that one divine life is pure, unconditioned love. Perfect, eternal love. And that is why perfect love casts out all fear. Love is divine truth. So that's why when you live in that state of love, you really don't have any fear. And if you have fear, then you know you're still dealing with your own personal population of wrathful wraiths within you. and turn on the light. You know, when you go into a room filled with cockroaches, which is like a mind filled with fear, you know, you turn the light on and they run off in all directions. You don't have to beat them with a broom. You just turn the light on and they will scurry away because they don't like the light. Same thing with your negative, fearful images that you have in your mind and your thoughts and your, that you project on your beautiful, innocent future. Turn on the light in your mind and call forward the divine consciousness, however you want to language it, and it will come with you as the spirit divine and will assist you with that. So the truth then, again, that nothing is preset to happen in 2012 or on any other date. These concepts arise only in the belief in separation and the belief in time. So what we see depends on what we want to see, what we wish to endow with reality for a while. But the end of all illusion is the same, death and dissolution. Death, the ultimate illusion of all illusions, is also the destination of all false scenarios. Since it's a dream, death is not real in any true sense. It simply means the dissolving of the illusion of form and separation and the return to spirit and truth. So we but dream the dream of our destruction. Our ego mind's version of the world, likewise, will come to its own end. And how will it end? Well, for each person, it will end however you wish it to end. Like you believe in your heart, it will end. Not necessarily your mind. It's your heart that determines where you live from. So the end of the nightmare of separation from God and banishment from heaven will come to one and all. It must, it's assured, not one single soul will be lost. Not one single soul. And God loves all of its creation. Yet for each, in time and space, it will be according to how you set it up within your own self. Yet ultimately, a happy outcome to all things is assured. That's something that's very important to bear in mind. No matter how it plays out, and remember, we have been in worlds and civilizations and historical periods in which we have dreamed every possible kind of scenario. We have gone through polar shifts and you name the litany of disasters. We've been in all of them in some dream. And bear in mind, it's a dream. We've had bad dreams, haven't we? Haven't we all? And yet we awaken and find, oh, it's just a dream. The good news with this is that when we awaken, we're not going to have any recall. Jesus said we won't remember anything but the happy events and the love we gave and the love we received. So we're not going to remember any of the ego's nightmares. So if you're not going to remember them, that means they're not important to remember, other than to release and simply remind yourself when you buy into them, oh, this is just a dream. This never really happened. So it's our own guilt that demands a nightmarish scenario, so-called divine wrath, to visit our world. And the world we see is the world we live in. So forgive yourself because you've never, ever done anything that deserves any kind of punishment, ever. You've never done any of the things that you dreamed you did. They're not true of you. So accept the full restoration, the full atonement that was brought to you by your divine elder brother, Jesus. Just cop out on the Lord and step free through grace. God is love, period. Wrath is of the ego, and the ego mind's projection upon God. God is not wrathful, and the ego mind projects its wrath upon God. And the ego demands pain instead of love, because the ego knows that love will dissolve it, and it wants to exist. So it exists through pain, and through guilt, and through judgment, and through investiture in negative, fearful scenarios. So dissolve it with love into the nothingness that it's always been and return to the all that you've always been. So sin, wrath, judgment, hell are all projected from the ego-driven mind of man, his sense of guilt for having, in his mind, separated himself and disobeyed God. He didn't really do that, but he believed he did. And from his belief in this separation, this whole goofy world, this dream holodeck of misery and pain arose like a magician's conjuration. It arose, and it will just as easily dissolve and disappear in the enlightened consciousness. So it's embracing our enlightenment that is going to be the greatest service that we can give to ourselves, our families, our world, and that we can be set free. That alone is the water that if we drink of it, we won't thirst anymore. That alone is the bread, the manna from heaven, that if we eat it, we will never again be hungry. That's why Jesus said, I am the living waters, and I am the bread of life. That's what it meant. It meant consume that divine consciousness. You know, he told his disciples that they needed to eat his flesh and drink their blood, and it says in the Bible that they were so offended, many of them left him. It's like, we can't hear that. And, of course, he was speaking the mystical language, the esoteric language of the higher consciousness. But they were pretty dim light bulbs. They never did get Jesus until after they were, you know, after he ascended and gave the Holy Spirit into them directly was the only time they began to wake up a little bit. Interesting. So the Christ within you is your correct vision. That's your mind restored to truth. That's why it says, let the mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. That's what that means, right-mindedness. The Christ within you leads your thoughts back to truth, to the Father, and to the heavenly home you've never truly left. The Christ within you is the choice for love. Above fear, it is that choice for faith, which is beyond anxiety about the future. So it's wonderful that we will not remember the change or the shift. We will be aware only of increasing love, joy, and peace. So those are the signs that you are actually enlightening yourself. When you experience in these times that peace and that joy and that sense of security that that lets you know you're not in the world anymore. You're not living in the social gerbil cage of projected horrors and terrorism and fear and all that stuff. Those things will not come to a person that lives in love and is innocent. They could be in the environment, but it won't touch them. So you will see a body, or you'll see the spirit. Those are the only choices of vision. You'll see the form, or you'll see the spirit. So all duality and polarized states are dissolved in the unified field. Contrasts and differences are useful as teaching aids, but only in the dream field of duality. And contrast and differences disappear when you no longer need them as teaching devices, teaching and learning devices. And they have no place at all in the divine realms. So heaven is now, the golden age is now, the kingdom of heaven is now. It's all a choice of focus that only awaits your decision of what you would have as your reality. You are loved and blessed and have never truly separated yourself from God and home. You only had a dream you did. The Christ calls to you now to take his hand and walk with him from the darkness of your nightmarish dreams into the light of the world that you will see from your true identity, a world of pure love and pure grace. So I think I'll close tonight with this is the Lord's Prayer from Course in Miracles that Jesus gave us as a more direct prayer. Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen. And when we speak of minds, when Jesus uses the word minds in the Course in Miracles, he's actually speaking of what we call the soul. So, anyway, I highly recommend A Course in Miracles, and it'll be the best investment and the best year you ever spent in your life. I hope this show has brought you more clarity, and that we can all awaken more and more with every show, with every day, with every awakening. Let's just expand more and more into that unified field of light in which we live and move and have our being that we call the divine. So, Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord, which is your name and my name and all names. Just chant you as we go out. Adonai.